All right, it is good to see everyone today on this January 1st, 2023. It is New Year's Day. It is on a Sunday. And we are going to look forward to see what we can see. And we're going to look to God. We're in Joshua chapter 3 today, and we'll begin in verses 3 and 4. And the title of today's message is Living in the Certainty of God. And on New Year's Day, we're going to look at the certainty of God concerning our future for our lives. And we're going to compare this to the uncertainty of man, the uncertainty of humanity. I don't know what this year holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds, according to James. But I know the one who holds tomorrow, and we want to nail some of that down. So, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, Joshua commands the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and follow it," go after it. "And I want you to keep a space between you and the ark of the Lord," which represents the presence of God, "about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it." You want to stay far enough away so you can see exactly where it's going, "that you may know the way by which you must go, because you have never passed this way before." You have never passed this way before. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you now, I ask for forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of daily sin. Cleanse me by your blood. I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your spirit, filled with your spirit. Let me decrease so that you increase. And I pray, sweet Jesus, that your word will go out and that your spirit will speak to hearts. Father, your Holy Spirit is our perfect teacher, not a man. And so, Father, I pray that for my heart and my mind and for the hearts and minds of these that are listening, that we will allow your spirit to penetrate us, speak to us, nudge us, move upon us, and give us assurance and guidance, conviction, that you will speak to our needs because you know them better than we do and much better than others do. So Holy Spirit, please move and speak and let us allow you to have free reign as we glorify only one name, the name of Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name, every principality and power is bowing down to this name. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, he says this. He says, "Follow the ark of the Lord, the presence of God, by which you may know the way that you must go, before, because you have never been this way before." Now, I want you to understand something. They are following the Ark of the Covenant through the wilderness into the Promised Land. That was the plan, to go straight into the Promised Land following the Ark of the Lord. So, the Promised Land for the New Covenant Christian represents God's will or God's plan for our life. So we want to follow God. We don't want Him beside us. We don't want Him behind us. We don't want any of this "God is my co-pilot" stuff. I want God to be the pilot, and I'm going to ride in coach or maybe even first class every now and then if I could get it. But I want God in control and taking control for the leadership and for the guidance of my life. And we're going to see why here in a moment. Why is it, you know, on my own, Joshua is saying, you don't know the way that you should go. So we're talking about the uncertainty of man compared to the certainty of God. So go with me to James chapter 4. You're familiar with this. I say it all the time. I text it all the time. I use this phrase. And in James chapter 4, verse 13, the scripture says this. It says, "Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." We got a plan. We're going to go to another city. We're going to start a business. We're going to buy things wholesale. We're going to sell them retail. And we're going to make a profit. Verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." You don't know what tomorrow holds, even when you're making plans. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we're going to live and we're going to do this or that." So, God willing, verse 13, we're going to go to a city and we're going to stay there a year. And our plan is we're going to set up a business and hopefully make a profit. Verse 15, "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or we shall do that." Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows the plans that He has for us. And He told the nation of Israel, "I know the plans I have for you. In 70 years it'll be accomplished. In 70 years I will deliver you from Babylon and I will take you back to the promised land." My friend, 70 years represents a generation, a whole lifetime. So I want you to understand, God's got our life planned out from birth until we go home to be with Him. And we don't know, look what he says, James says in verse 13, "Whereas you don't even know what tomorrow holds." You don't even know what tomorrow holds. Isaiah 46:10 tells us, God knows the end from the beginning. Amen. God knows the end from the beginning. I was meditating on that this week. And I was walking around outside and I was thinking how in the springtime those large anthill mounds come up. Those huge anthill mounds come up. That's what I raise on my property. I raise rocks and anthill mounds. So if you ever need any of that, you come to me. I'll buy it wholesale and sell it retail. But anyway, we have those anthill mounds, and there are times you can actually see a little ant highway. And it may be running 10 yards or so, and they're going and getting their little grains of sand, and they're carrying them. I mean, it looks like a thousand of them in this path, and they are going from the source of where they're getting the sand back to the anthill. Or they're coming from the anthill to go there. And as I stand there, I look over them. And guess what? I can see the end from the beginning. Now they can't because they're the ones burdened down, carrying the stuff, headed to the anthill to do whatever they've got to do. And as I was thinking about that this week, you know, that is me. God sees me carrying the burdens. God sees me living my life. God sees me going day to day to day to day. And He's watching over and He sees the end from the beginning of my life. Is that not beautiful? Amen. Next time you see that anthill, I want you to praise God and say, God is above time, space, and matter. He's looking down. He's got a plan. He's got that word in Jeremiah, expected end, in the Hebrew, that word actually means prosperous and positive and a blessed conclusion for our life and every plan that He has. And so as we look at James 4, the scripture says, man does not know what tomorrow holds, but God knows everything about all of our tomorrows. And I praise God. Let me show you another example of man's uncertainty. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. There's that phrase, and I've heard it, and I've even said it, man makes plans and God laughs. But now there's nothing wrong with making plans. You just want to make them under the authority of God, open to God and seeking God. It's okay to say this is the plan if God wills. This is the plan, Lord, if this is the way you're going to lead me. This is what I'm thinking, Lord. You move upon me and you let me know. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 says this: Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He was very blessed by God. And he thought within himself. Now, I want you to understand, we all think within ourselves. Something happens in our life, we think about it. We get a great blessing, we think about it. We go through a crisis, we think about it. He thought within himself. It would have been good if the next phrase was, he thought within himself, and then he got down on his knees and he prayed unto God. But it doesn't. He thought within himself and he said, what shall I do with all this bountiful blessing? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, all these riches. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. Notice all the I's. I. Five of them in these two verses. And he said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns, and there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. You know, he never asked God, you know, if there's somebody that might need some of this. Can I help somebody? What is it you want me to do with it, Lord Jesus? He never did that. In verse 19, and I will say to my soul, all these personal pronouns, another I, now we got a my thrown in there. Soul, you have many goods, and they are laid up for many years. Now notice that, laid up for many years. Retire. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So that's the plan. Man, I made it. That's the plan. For many years, I've got enough, Kathy, to last me 20 years. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then who will these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I want to say to you, what does this illustrate? This illustrates the presumption of man. He just presumes everything's always going to be all right. I presume I'm going to be here 20 or 30 years more. I presume this. It's pride. It's audacity. But what would be the opposite of that? To humble yourself before God. Amen. And honor God with every blessing God brings into your life. Yes. He could have got down on his knees and said, God, you've so blessed me. I want to honor you with all the blessings you've given me. You show me what to do from this point forward. You show me how to live, how to handle all these fruits and blessings that you have brought into my life. We're called to honor God with the time God has given us. With the blessings God gives us. With the richness that he bestows upon us. I want you to understand something. We're talking about the certainty of God and the uncertainty of man. And I just don't want you to get confused here. Death is certain. All right, I want to make that point. If we're not of the generation when the rapture occurs, physical death is certain. But you know what the kicker is? The timing sure ain't. The timing. So we don't know the timing. But God knows the timing. And so that's why the psalmist says, my times are in your hands. I'm going to put my times in your hands. And there is a time to every season, according to Solomon. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And between those times, all I want to achieve is to be in the center of God's will. So, if we want to tap into, grab hold of the certainty of God, I want you to go back to Joshua chapter 1. You weren't in Joshua chapter 3, so go back to Joshua chapter 1. And if God is going to lead them down a path they've never been before, God tells Joshua to tell the children of Israel to do a certain thing, or a series of things. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, God says this: "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and thou may observe to do according that all is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and you will have good success." And then verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." So, what are we to do to tap into the certainty of God, the guidance of God, the will of God, and the plan of God for our life? Well, under the old covenant, they were to meditate in the law of God day and night. You and I need to have a consistent time of communion and fellowship with the Lord. As Ken said, you know, people are making New Year's resolutions. We need to resolve to have that consistent time alone with Jesus. Because when you don't have that time, you're not igniting the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are quenching the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit and the value of the Holy Spirit in my life and God's presence that I want to receive. What is meditation in the Word of God, in prayer in the Word of God? When that ignites the Holy Spirit, you know what that results in? Revelation from God. God will reveal, you know, "I have not seen, neither has ear heard, the things that God hath prepared for them, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto God, unto man." And what you need to understand is we get in the Word of God to get revelation from God. We meditate upon the Word of God to get revelation from God. Revelation about His truth, but revelation about our personal lives and guidance and direction. And notice what He says, "My presence will be with you wherever you go, and prosperity and success will be there for you if you consistently place yourself before me day and night." And you know that we can always do better. You know, I heard somebody say that today. Yes, we can. And we can resolve to have that time alone with the Lord, to have that devotional time, to have that meditation time. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Now, I want you to notice what He said in Joshua 1. He says that when you meditate with me, then you will observe to do all those things that are written in the book. I want you to understand, fellowship and communion with the Lord allows the Holy Spirit to influence you to the point where it results in obedience. Obedience without communion in our love relationship is nothing but works. And you'll have to force yourself. But in the outflow of love, when you love somebody, you want to please them. You know, Patty and I had a discussion. We were coming back from Daniel's the other day. We had our Christmas after Christmas because of the cold weather. And Patty knows that I absolutely love Waffle House. I love Waffle House. People laugh at me because I love Waffle House the way I do. Daniel always tells me, he goes, "Dad, it will not surprise me one night at midnight after you've been fishing, you're going to get killed in a Waffle House." And he goes, "I'm preparing myself for it. It's not a good place to be, you know." But anyway, I love Waffle House. Patty loves Burger King. I mean, to the point, she doesn't get a Whopper. She gets a double Whopper with cheese. And a Whopper cheese. Large fry. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, she loves it. Well, the last two times coming back from Daniel's, I've told her, you know, I'm really craving Burger King. So we've eaten at Burger King. Well, this last time when we got up to order, I just got a Whopper Jr. for myself. She got two doubles and whatever. And so we sat down and she said, "You didn't really want to come here, did you?" I said, "I don't mind coming here. It's fine." She goes, "You would have rather gone to Waffle House." I said, "Well, I love steak, egg, extra egg, eggs over light, steak, medium, regular hash browns, double order, you know. I've got my thing at the Waffle House." And she goes, "I wish you wouldn't do that. We ate Burger King." I said, "I know it, but it's still Christmas, and I wanted you to have Burger King." You know, so why would you do that, Brother Lib? Because I love her. I appreciate her. I want to do something for her. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. Why do you want to obey God? Because I love Jesus. Because Jesus first loved me. Because every blessing I have in my life, I have received from Jesus. Obedience without that does not, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience that does not flow out of love is just stale and cold and lifeless works. And so that's why Joshua is saying, meditate therein day and night. Meditate therein and then observe to do what God wants you to do. Psalmist says the same thing. Verse 1 of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That's the progression of sin. You know, first you're walking with somebody, then you stand, and then you sit down and wallow in it. You know, and it goes from bad to worse. You know, you got to stay away from it. But notice what he says, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. There it is again. That communion with God, that fellowship. John said, we touched him, we talked to him, we had fellowship with him, we had communion with him. As you get along with the Lord, it's the Lord that changes you. The glory of the Lord gets reflected upon you. And then it says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's Joshua again. You're going to prosper. That bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Jeremiah 17 has the same thing. It only adds that the leaf doesn't wither in drought. Now why is that, Brother Leo? Because that tree's planted by a river. So guess where the roots go? The roots go down in the river. It's on the bank of a river. So it draws the water out of the river. Even during hard times, it draws that water. You mount up with wings of eagles. You walk and you're not weary. You run. I got it backwards. You run and not faint. Just flip it. But the bottom line is you get renourished and rejuvenated by meditating and by fellowshipping and communing with God. We got people, I asked Daniel, he came back from the gym, I guess it was Thursday, we were there. I said, "How was it, D?" He goes, "Oh, it's packed out, man." I said, "When will it not be like," he goes, "February 1. He goes, "Man, these people, everybody in Nashville's in there for the month of January and then it's over." You know, now Daniel, he's in there 6 days a week when he's in town. He works out at a YMCA not far from his home in East Nashville. He's there 6 days a week. And you know, I praise God for that. But what I want you to understand, the same physical discipline that we can put forth is a spiritual discipline that we can put forth. And it will benefit us throughout eternity and throughout this life. Yeah. And we don't recognize that. Look at what he says. He shall meditate day and night. Whatever he does shall prosper. And then jump down to verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way for you to go, the path for you to follow, and the plan that Jesus has for your life. And he'll reveal that unto you. So often, you know, we're sitting here and we've got a blank slate for 2023. But you know, I don't get caught up so much in these New Year's days and these things. And maybe psychologically it helps folks. But the bottom line is you can rededicate yourself to God at any time. And there'll be times throughout the year you're going to need to rededicate yourself to God, to grab yourself by the bootstrap spiritually and say, man, I got to get along with Jesus. I got to get God's certainty for this plan. Now, I want to close out today with a practical application. And the question is, how am I to utilize the certainty of God for my life? You know, we can all say the right things. I know God knows the end from the beginning. I know God's got a plan for my life. I know God's ways are higher than my ways and his purposes are much better than mine. I know God knows what's best better than I do. But am I living that? How do you live that? Well, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to give you a couple of Greek words as we look at this verse. We've been using this verse pretty regularly throughout the fall. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, because I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, I've been imprisoned," is what he's saying. "Nevertheless, I have no regrets. I certainly know God has not failed me." And he says this, "For I know whom I have believed. For I know whom I have believed and trusted. And I am persuaded and convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, I want you to understand the primary thought there. You know, the primary thing we commit unto God until that day? Our souls. I am convinced that my salvation, based on the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, when I leave this place, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. It's not based on my works. It's not based on how good I am. I've been saved by the work of Christ on the cross. And I've received that by a faith commitment into my heart. I'm not perfect, but I have received Christ. And I know when the Holy Spirit came into my heart. Amen. Yeah. I can't tell you the day, time, or the hour, but I can tell you the season of conviction and then the release and the peace that I was brought into peace with God. So that is the primary committal that any human being is ever going to make. The eternal destination of their soul. So everything I'm talking to you about right now is secondary to that. So what secondary things do I need to commit unto God so that I can utilize the certainty of God's plan in those areas? The certainty that God knows what's best. The certainty of God's ability to bless and bring prosperity and good success. Now I want to give you these words. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. He says, "I know whom I have believed," and I'll just stop right there. It's not "I know what I have believed," I know whom I have believed. That's very important. You know one of the saddest things in religion? There are people that are members of certain religions. They know their doctrine backwards, forwards, upside down, sideways. They probably even know the Bible better than I do as far as where verses are located, etc. But they don't know him personally. Is that not a tragedy? It's not I know what I believe, it's I know whom I've believed. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. He doesn't say, depart from me, you didn't know enough doctrine. You know, I praise God for doctrine that gets us to the knowledge and the revelation and then the receiving of the personal relationship, but it cannot replace it. So Paul says, I know, I'm sitting here with confidence because I know him personally. And my relationship is where it needs to be. And then he says this, I know whom I believe and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him that day. He is able to keep. Let me give you that word keep. This is what we're asking God to do. In the Greek, it's P-H-U-L-A-S-S-O. P-H-U-L-A-S-S-O. And it means this. It means to keep watch over or to guard. I want you to think of a loving shepherd. I want you to think of John chapter 10, the good shepherd. To keep watch over or to guard from harm. To tend to or take care of. That good shepherd is taking care of those sheep. He's tending to them. He's picking the briars and the brambles out of them. He's ministering to their little feet when they get sore. He's protecting them. And then it goes on to say this in the Greek nuance of the word, to be especially attentive to. To be especially attentive to keep watch over with great care. Isn't that wonderful? Cameron, every dad wants to do that for his son. Every mom wants to do that for their children. We can relate, but we don't have the ability that God has. To do it exponentially more effectively and better than we can. So if I'm committing something over to God, I'm committing it over to His care. I am placing this situation, this person, this part of my family in the loving and perfect care of my Heavenly Father, into the loving hands of Jesus, who died for them. One of my goals in 2023 is to continue carrying less. I want to carry less. What do you mean, brother? I want to carry less burdens. I want to give more and more over unto God. I want people to come up to me and say, hey, how's all that construction work and all going on that house in Charleston? I'm going to say, I forgot I had a house in Charleston. Floor rot out in the bathroom? Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? When you actually give something over and it's not dominating your mind? So that's the word to keep. That's what he'll do with it. But what is our part? Look what he says. I know whom I'm believing and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. That's parathike. P-A-R-A-T-H-E-K-E. There are two terms in that. Number one, it means to place something in a trust. That's a legal term. To place something in a trust. I'll give you the details in a moment. Secondly, it means to make a deposit somewhere for safekeeping. To make a deposit somewhere for safekeeping. That's a banking term. It's a banking term. I had a friend many, many years ago who's still a friend now, though we're not in touch. He was a deacon in my first church. And he was getting into Christmas trees, Fraser Firs. And he bought 100 acres on the other side of Boone, North Carolina. And but it takes 8 years for the Frasers and most Christmas trees to come to maturity. And so he was buying them from a wholesaler, a guy named Roy, true mountain man. And I can't remember the name of the county, but it was on the Virginia border. And he never used a bank. But he had trucks that went all over the southeast. He did landscape stuff. He grew all kind of stuff. Stuff in Washington, D.C., all over. He had a massive heart attack. Was taken to the hospital. And when his wife was in there, they asked if he had insurance. His name was Roy. I can't remember his last name. She said, no, we don't have insurance. She goes, well, how are you going to pay for this? She goes, I'm paying cash. And sure enough, he had bottles buried on his property with hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. I mean, he's a mountain man. There are people that don't trust things. And so he did not deposit his money for safekeeping in a bank, which is what that term means. He kept it for himself. And I'll never forget Willard telling me that story, that he paid for open heart or bypass surgery with cash out of stuff he had buried on his property. It may be time for us to do that now, I don't know. But it won't be worth anything if that happens. So it means to make a deposit for safekeeping. But the root of it is you commit something that you possess and value. Let me say that again. You commit something, you give over something you possess or value to someone else's charge, care, or responsibility. Lehman, I did that with my soul. Yes. I did that with my eternal destination. Yes. I did that with my life to be in heaven for safekeeping, for tending to, for them to take care of. I'm putting it in Miss Betty's hands for her to take care of this for the rest of my life. You're giving over to someone else. In this case, it's the whom I have believed, Jesus Christ, and you're trusting in His ability to take care of something or someone better than you can. And it all comes down to God's knowledge, God's ability, God's certainty, as opposed to mine. Why am I going to hold on to this thing? Why am I going to try to figure this out? I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what God's plan is. I can only see horizontally. And so I not only want God's plan for my life, I want it for my wife's life, my son's life, my daughter-in-law's life, my loved one's life, for all of you. I want the Holy Spirit as the caretaker of these situations. So your resolution verse for 2023 is, what do you need to commit to Jesus in this year to give over unto Him for His tending, for His safekeeping, for His plan, where you can say, this is in Your hands, Lord Jesus, Psalm 31:15. I'm placing this in Your hands. I trust in You, Lord Jesus. And see God do amazing things. One of the greatest blessings I've ever known in my life is I am so convinced of my inability to do what I'm doing today. I know I cannot teach the Word of God. I know I cannot speak in front of a crowd. I'll never forget how my throat would tighten up. Now, I was great in the locker room. I was great on the field. I was great with teammates. But to actually sit in front of a group of people and make a presentation, I praise God for the knowledge I have of my inability to do what will one day, good Lord willing, be 40 years of doing what I've been doing. Where I fail is when I think I can handle things that I shouldn't. So as you pray today, we'll close out in a moment. As you pray today, your resolution is, Lord, what do I need to commit to hand over to You in this year that I carried and have been carrying in the last year? And go ahead and ask him, why am I carrying this? Why do I have more confidence in myself than I do in you, Jesus? But I want to give you this verse, Psalm 27. And I love this verse, and we close out with this one. In Psalm 27, verse 13, the scripture says this. I would have given up. I would have quit. I would have fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of God in this life, in the land of the living. I would have quit. Given up. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in my life, so I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to expect from God. I'm going to count on God. I'm going to depend on God. And I will be strengthened in my courage and my confidence and my resolve. And I say again, wait and put your trust in the Lord. God's got a plan. Don't settle for less than God's plan. Don't ever do that. Don't ever just grab hold of what's available or what's there. The one thing you don't want to do is one day, as a child of God, stand before the Lord and see the blessings you missed. And see the plan that you veered out of. The direction you should have gone, but you never even asked God about. You got a whole year ahead of you to follow the presence of God into the promised land and live in the center of His will. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, what I need to give over to you, what I need to work on giving over to you, Lord Jesus. Father, you can do great and mighty things that I know not. But Father, you do ask for faith and trust. Allow me to give over, Jesus. Allow me to carry less in the weeks ahead. Lord Jesus, I commit unto you my trust in your ability to handle this better than I can. I trust, Lord, in your ability to handle this better than I can. And instead of spending so much energy in this area, let me see where you really want my focus to be and my energy, which will bring peace into my life. Father, we thank you for this past year and all the past years, because we can say with certainty, you have never left us, you have never failed us, you have never forsaken us. And Father, we look forward to this year. Because you will never leave us, you will never fail us, and you will never forsake us.